I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Chargers and Patriots coming up on Sunday, and we are lucky enough to be joined by Ian Eagle from Westwood One. He's going to call the game. You'll hear it right here on 97.3 The Fan. Ian, thanks so much for joining us. How do you look at this game, just kind of in a general sense? It seems like the Patriots are, I don't want to say they're down, because here they are again in their usual spot, but most people seem to think they're a little down, and the Chargers may even have a better roster.
Yeah, guys, it's definitely a different narrative than in previous years with the Patriots. Yes, they're in the same spot that they always are, hosting a divisional game, but they did it in a different way. There were so many hiccups along the way this season, so I think that's added some fuel to this storyline that the beginning of the end is near for the Patriots. Look, you don't buy into that until you actually see it with your own two eyes. They always seem to come through this time of year on their home field. And the challenge for Los Angeles will be the same challenge that every team has faced going into Gillette. And that's winning in January in a place where New England always seems to feast. They find ways to win. It's not always lopsided, but crucial moments, pressure situations, Tom Brady with a different cast of characters, they've done it time and time again. You know, I think the one difference this year, guys, and you've seen it, you've been around it to notice, I don't think this Charger team looks at the past and uses that as any kind of indicator of who they are now.
Yeah.
Different coaching staff, certainly a different vibe around the team, obviously a new home completely in Carson. So my general feelings in covering the Chargers this year is the past is the past, and they're trying to write a new chapter.
Ian, you bring up January, and for most of the country, maybe aside from San Diego, January brings some cold weather. And in the past, and I know the Chargers aren't looking at their past games in Foxborough as a gauge, but typically West Coast teams struggle when they go to cold
yep.
weather. But this team seems to be built a little bit differently. Would you agree?
Oh, no doubt about it. Their running game has been more effective, and they're not just basing it on normal straight line runs. They're very good to the outside, but that's with a healthy Gordon. And
yeah.
right now, after watching the game last week, I was there in Baltimore to call that one. He didn't have that extra gear. You didn't see the explosiveness. And obviously, we didn't see it in the last month of the year because of various injuries for Gordon. Eckler never quite got it going last week against the Ravens. Give credit to the Baltimore defense, one of the top flight defensive units in the NFL. But just going off of what I saw final month of the year, the offense for L.A. was not as dynamic
yeah.
as it had been in previous weeks. Is that concern, or is that just how it works in the NFL? You can't just generate 400 yards of offense by snapping your fingers. I think this game could let us see a little bit of what we saw earlier in the year. New England has been vulnerable. That secondary, they've got some big names, but they've meshed in some younger players there. You don't know how they're going to hold up under the playoff lights. And for as good as New England has been defensively over the years, I wouldn't call this particular unit one that would stack up with previous Bill Belichick defenses.
Ian Eagle is going to call the Patriots-Chargers game right here on 97.3 The Fan for Westwood One on Sunday, joining us here on Gwynn and Chris. Ian, I was wondering if you could take us just a little bit behind the scenes for a second. I know that the TV broadcasters, and you do a lot of games on television as well, normally get a chance to meet with the coaches kind of in a one-on-one setting before a game. I just was curious, is a one-on-one setting meeting with Bill Belichick different than any other coach in the NFL or every other coach in the NFL?
Yeah, it is different. definitely not going to get a whole lot on his team. he just doesn't give it up, and that's his right not to. Most coaches, you ask them about their players, and they'll go on and on. And it may not be completely insightful information, but it's certainly things that you can use on a broadcast and for background scouting reports. Bill will be very short when it comes to talking about his players. You ask him about the opponent, he'll go on and on. You ask him about the officiating, he'll go on and on. You ask him about the history of the game, you could be there for 40 minutes. Those are things that he likes to talk about, but they're not necessarily items that are going to pop up in a game broadcast. So you pick and choose your spots. We had, I want to say, 6 New England games this year. And because of that, you do build a rapport. But as far as access and information, that's not necessarily what you're expecting out of those one-on-one sessions. Pleasant and, you know, certainly open to answering your questions, but it's just not going to go beyond the surface when it comes to anything that could put his team in some kind of information jeopardy.
And this matchup is going to have one quarterback that's considered the GOAT, the other one certainly considered to be a Hall of Famer right now.
Yep.
With Phillip Rivers, would a win against Tom Brady, who he's 0-7 going into this game against Tom, would this do anything else to heighten the legacy that he's already established?
Yeah, I think it would, and maybe that's not fair. I think he's done enough. If we're just talking about Hall of Fame today, I believe he gets in. The numbers, the leadership skills, his love of the game, what he meant over the course of his now 15-year career, and we believe he's going to play at least another couple of years in the NFL, all of those are going to check the boxes necessary to be in Canton. But look, you guys know it, I know it. These are the moments where you can curb some of the naysayers.
Yeah.
And there are naysayers. I mentioned early in the season, I'm not a Twitter guy. I don't have an account. I must say, I have a burner account, so I can pay attention to what's going on. I have to be in the know.
That might be the smartest move right there.
That's good.
Thanks very much. Trust me, it's not something I just came to overnight. I thought about this long and hard. And the reality was, I brought up the Hall of Fame with Phillip Rivers early in the season, and I said it, to be honest, in a very cavalier way. I thought it was just understood,
right,
that he would be in the Hall of Fame. And then I happened to look at some of the mentions about the broadcast, and that caught a little fire in one of the games we did early in the season. How can you say that? How can you assume that? I'm thinking, really? Are there really people out there that haven't seen the body of work? But yeah, that's how it is. That's part of the reason why we love sports, and people have their opinions. And I would tell you definitively, a win here would help the legacy a bit, but I don't think it changes the final result. I think he'll be wearing a gold jacket.
Ian, get you out on this. Appreciate your time so much, and look forward to your broadcast on Sunday. And I don't know if you have a pulse of this at all, but having covered many Charger games this year, I mean, how do you feel for San Diegans who are watching this game Sunday? I can tell you from our program alone that most of the fans here are really, really in love with this Charger team. They don't want to admit it, but they still love them, because they haven't been gone long enough and there's still that connection to Phillip Rivers. Is there any sense that a win here means something to America's finest city?
Yeah, I fully understand and acknowledge the mixed emotions that go into this. I've been doing Nets games for 25 years, and to me it's not a parallel comparison, but it's enough to at least have an understanding of the circumstances. They were in New Jersey for the first 19 years that I did the games, and now for the last 6, they've been in Brooklyn. It wasn't a huge change. It's only an 11-mile difference between where they used to play and where they play now, but in New York traffic, you might be looking at an hour or an hour and 15 minutes trying to weave your way through Manhattan and then through Brooklyn. I don't think the connection was there with the New Jersey fans as the connection was there with the Charger fans and the community in San Diego. That ran deeper. There were more Charger fans in San Diego than there were Net fans in the state of New Jersey. So when the team moved, it wasn't this seismic shift where fans had to pick a side. There were a bunch of fans that stuck with the team, and they can still watch it in their local market, and if they want to go to a few games, they can, and they've now been able to build a new fan base. This San Diego move to Carson and eventually to L.A., it cuts deeper. And I don't know if a win changes some of those opinions of people that decided, I can't do it, I can't commit myself to it. I do know, and echoing your statements, this is a really likable team.
Yeah.
This is a likable head coach. He does it his way. He's not copying some other coach. He's not trying to be someone else. They made an excellent hire. Anthony Lynn has understood what this team needed and when they needed it, and a straight shooter. And this roster has been built the right way. Tom Telesco has done an outstanding job. The defense needed help. He addressed it. The first four picks in the 2018 draft were all defensive picks, and they recognized that they had to get better on that side of the ball. He shored up the offensive line. Phillip Rivers has been rejuvenated with this group. Hunter Henry returns. That's a great storyline. So how much of an effect that has on the swing vote, I do think a win has a way of healing some of those wounds, and there might be some fans out there that if this thing really is a magic carpet ride, they're going to jump on board.
No question. You're absolutely, you got it nailed right on the head, Ian. But the funny thing is we're all still kind of excited to see where it's going to go if they were able to take it even further, because we really don't know the answer to that. Enjoy the broadcast Sunday. We'll look forward to listening. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Ian.
Yeah, great to talk to you guys. Have fun this weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.